because it matters. Security isn't just about locks and keys anymore. From the evolution of cybersecurity to the critical role of resilience in essential industries, today's episode dives deep into the nexus of cyber and physical security. What do laws like NIS2 and CER mean for businesses of all sizes? Join our host, Wilma Werner, as we explore the world of safe, secure, and seamless access solutions.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Because It Matters, the podcast where we open the doors to innovation, merge aesthetics with function, and security with elegance. On today's episode, all about cyber and physical security for critical entity resilience, we do have an expert on board. Hello, Andreas Robert.
Hi.
Hi. Great to have you here. Please introduce yourself. Who are you and why are you an expert for this topic?
Well, I'm the Corporate Information Security Officer of Dormakaba, CISA. I'm the expert because, well, whenever it comes to cybersecurity-related questions and advisory, well, you can call me.
So what are the typical questions that you get asked if someone calls you?
Whenever they have questions about, for example, being compliant to frameworks, whenever it's about standards, whenever it's about management systems with regard to information security, well, they will call me.
And for how long have you been with Dormakaba now?
Since 2018 on. In general, I'm doing that business from 1998 on, more than 20 years, so more than two decades.
Nearly, it's decades.
Yeah, it is.
And what are the security-related topics that you've dealt with from the late 90s up until today?
Well, it started with technical security measures like firewall systems, maybe intrusion detection systems, and then goes on to management systems. So with different standards, for example, the ISO 27001 or German standards as well. So this exactly is the extension to security within the developing years from 1998 on up to now. So by now it is more or less managing security. It's not only implementing security measures by itself.
Can you please tell us what actually is critical infrastructure? I know that there are different kind of departments about critical infrastructure. Yeah. Can you please tell us a bit about that?
Critical infrastructure is divided into different sectors. So it depends exactly on the country where the sectors are situated, what sectors they are. But in general, it is 11 critical sectors for critical infrastructure.
Thank you. So our expert on today's episode, Andreas Robert, all about cyber and physical security for critical entity resilience.
Cybersecurity demands and threat evolution.
Andreas, you've been with the topic of security for companies, for critical entities for, we can say decades, it's nearly three decades now.
It's around two decades by now.
It is. Well, if we count from 98 on, it's nearly three decades. How do you observe the increase in demand for cybersecurity?
It's increasing. Although it started, when I started, I was on the first commercial internet service provider in Germany. And at that time, it was all about firewall systems. But then, after the switch to 2000s, it was more and more and more managing information security. Not only having technical controls, but managing information security means that you have to have a plan. You have to have something like risk management, something like incident management. So it is not only about firewall systems and antivirus scanners. It's much, much more. And this evolved exactly in the last two decades.
What came after that?
After that, intrusion detection systems. So it is not about being sure that no one gets into your network, but once they're there, you have to identify those intruders who are within your networks.
And what is driving the demand nowadays?
The criminal business of intruders. This exactly is driving. So it's always, as always, money, nothing else. So it is not about kids who are doing some scripting work. It's definitely, it's for sure only business. Nothing else. Crime is well organized, and this exactly is what is happening now.
Wouldn't you say that nowadays everyone is aware of phishing emails and is able to spot them right away? Are they still effective?
They are, but it's very important. For example, here at Dormakaba, we are doing simulated phishing campaigns. So we are sending for every user once every week one email for more than 4 years, 5 years by now. which will result, has resulted in more than 1 million emails already being sent to all those entries that are markable. And the rate of clicking exactly to those links, it's very, very low, lower than in the banking industry by now.
What I think is, if we read about what governmental institutions have been attacked, how does that concern me as a, let's say, middle-sized or even a small business? Mm-hmm. Does this somehow impact me as well? Do I have to be aware of something?
Yeah, everyone has to be aware for sure. But the government is not that bad. It is good. So, for example, like laws like NIS2, or laws like in the United States and the institution of CISA, which is the critical infrastructure association in the US, means that the government is taking care on you. And this is very important. So it's not only just that you're on a loan, but it is we do have laws, and those laws are good once we are following them.
You already mentioned, I took mental notes about the laws that are in the background that are on EU level, and now we need to break them down and transfer them to national level. We'll have a look at that in a second.
Okay.
Implications for businesses and cybersecurity risk management.
Andreas, a few seconds ago, you already mentioned the legislative framework for cybersecurity and physical security. You mentioned the NIS2 and the CER. Can you please explain what these are? What do they have in common, and how do they distinguish?
Okay. In common, it is EU laws in general. What differs between those? Easy to explain. Cybersecurity controls, this is NIS2. Cyber resilience or resilience in general, this exactly is CER. So in other words, whenever you are operating critical infrastructure, and this is CER, and this only counts for the critical infrastructure, then you have to be exactly with that law. And to guarantee the availability of your critical components within your critical infrastructure. Whenever it comes to cybersecurity controls, this is exactly NIS2. So NIS2 is talking about, for example, risk management, about incident management, or about multi-factor authentication. But the controls for this is cybersecurity controls. The controls for resilience, these are other controls.
The Network and Information Security Directive, the NIS2, this is a EU law, and we have the Critical Entity Resilience Directive, the CER.
Exactly.
Both are laws on EU level.
Exactly.
In what cases do I have to follow the NIS2? So at what points am I concerned by this? And at what points do I have to follow the CER?
Once you are a critical infrastructure, then you have to follow both. Meaning that you have to have exactly the cybersecurity controls. And cybersecurity controls might be technical controls, but also be organizational controls, so both. The technical controls is always security controls. On the other hand, it is the CER, which is about resilience. And resilience means availability, availability of your industry, of your components, of your infrastructure within your critical area.
What does availability mean, for example? What do I have to ensure is available?
Whenever you're supplying power, for example, to a country or to a certain area whatsoever, you have to be sure that this exactly has been done in an uninterrupted way. Meaning you have to guarantee that it is resilient and it is maybe based on security, but not in general, so security controls. In general, it is about the availability of your supplies.
When does the NIS2 concern me?
NIS2 concerns you, it is separated into two larger areas. It is essential entities and important entities. The important entities are new. The essential entities, this exactly is critical infrastructure in the original sense of that meaning, of that word. The important entities, it is more sectors. It was formerly on the critical side. It has been extended. So NIS2 is essential entities, in other words, critical infrastructure, as well as important entities, for example, manufacturing, is one of those important entities which exactly is within NIS2.
The two crucial criteria to determine whether I am concerned by the NIS2 are either I have 50 plus employees or I have 10 million plus revenue. Do I have to meet both or one of these?
One of these.
One of these.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay. So, and that means in turn that if I meet neither of these two, then I'm off the hook. Is that right?
In principle, yes. But it might be that your supplier exactly to either important entities or to essential entities. And then, although you're not directly affected by that law, you have to be exactly to the requirements of those companies you will supply.
Hmm? Does this create a struggle for companies? Mm-hmm. Do you have to be more aware of things? Do I have to implement new processes?
Yes, you have to. Mm-hmm. In general, the requirements, it's not that difficult. Once you have set up an information security management system, then, and it might be based on a common standard like ISO 27001, then you're done. Because most of the controls you have to implement are already there. Which is required directly from NIS2, it is risk management, for example. It is supplier risk management as well. It is multi-factor authentication. So it's a different set of controls, but in general, it is common controls for cybersecurity.
You mentioned risk management. That means before the implementation of this law, the NIS2, mm-hmm. my company with 50 employees, having a risk management implemented was optional and now it's mandatory.
It is cybersecurity risk management. That's exactly the difference. Most of the companies, they do have risk management, so enterprise risk management. Mm-hmm. What is special is that cybersecurity risk management. The cybersecurity risk management is about what we call them information assets. Those information assets can be processes, it can be services, IT services, it can be applications, it can be system, it can be network, it can lots of areas and lots of categories of assets. And those assets have to be protected, meaning that you have to build up, for example, a scenario-based risk management. So take scenarios or threats which are exactly valid for your company. Then you have to find countermeasures exactly for those threats with regard to security. And those countermeasures are exactly cybersecurity controls. So whenever you have risk management on cybersecurity areas and you have identified your assets and you have found, with the help of scenarios, the correct countermeasures, then you're good.
To wrap it up, the fees for critical infrastructures are 10 million or 2% of the annual revenue. And for important entities, it is 7 million and 1.4% of annual revenue. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot. No matter how much you make, that hurts. And can you compare that to if there is an incident that happens, how much does that cost the company on average?
On average, well, it depends. But on average, it is around 5.4 million. It depends exactly on the report, mm-hmm. but 5.4 million.
Okay. So... Yeah. We better do not let this happen. And I'm curious to hear about how Domokawa can support companies, small size, middle size, big size, in a specific way. More about that in a second.
Domokawa's role in solutions.
And now we've been talking about penalties and fees and the problems that it can create if you do not have the proper security management structure in place. But actually, the intention of the EU law is not to punish people and enrich themselves.
Exactly.
It's about motivating in a positive way. So can you share a bit about that? What's the positive intention behind that?
Mm-hmm. Incidents. Security incidents especially are quite cost intensive, which means it is a risk exactly for all those who are operating companies. It is a risk when it comes to critical infrastructure, for society in general, and it is a risk for your business. And this exactly means that whenever I can avoid exactly those incidents, then I will benefit from this. So it's only a motivation. It's not the sanction from the EU or for the local countries. It's only about the motivation.
Can you please tell us a bit more about how can dormakaba support companies in their endeavors to protect themselves?
We have different products. For example, for the transport area, which is one of those areas or sectors within the critical infrastructure, nowadays called important entities. Mm-hmm. We do have, for example, gates. You know them. You told me before that you traveled via Zurich Airport.
For example, yeah, Zurich was one, yeah.
These gates are extracted from dormakaba, for example. Mm? So we are serving direct critical infrastructure. This goes for power supplies as well. So we do have products in our portfolio, for example, access control, or for example, perimeter security, where we can supply exactly the critical infrastructure and important entities as well.
Advantages of digital access control solutions.
Dormakaba is very well positioned when it comes to physical products, and you mentioned that you have the combination of both physical, so mechanical products, and digital products. Let's say I have a company and we have our real estate and I do have the mechanical access control already. What's the advantage of adapting digital products as well? If the mechanical is already working.
Mm-hmm. Imagine, it's not very complicated, that you have a new employee.
Uh-huh.
And the new employee starts, for sure, while this is also a requirement of NIST 2, you're screening your personnel. So only the personnel who is okay for you will then be an employee. But it might be that the person is making a career within your company, and then you have to adapt the access rights. So, for example, he starts as a beginner and then moves to a higher position, and he has to have access, or she has to have access, to different areas within the company. To adapt those security rights and access control rights, you have to do this either with different keys on the mechanical area, or logical access control means that you have to review the access rights and can then adjust them. And this exactly is the advantage of one of those advantages on digital products. It's also possible, and now comes the very most important point, you can lock exactly the access. On keys, you cannot do. On digital products, for sure you can do this. So you know when someone is in the building, when someone was in the building, when someone left the building, meaning that you have the complete possibility to control and to look exactly who's in the building. And this is very, very important. Yeah. Imagine that there's fire inside the building.
Yeah, that was
then
exactly what I was thinking
of. Exactly,
yeah.
Who's in that building.
Yeah.
You know this by having exactly the logical access control also in place.
Have you watched the movie Catch Me If You Can with Leonardo DiCaprio? You watched that one. And Leonardo DiCaprio as a identity theft kind of. Mm-hmm. He snuck himself into a university, a hospital. Let's say I was as creative as Leonardo DiCaprio in that movie. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to sneak my way into, let's say, an airport. How far would I be able to sneak my way into if I was very creative and very smart?
At least you have to steal, for example, access cards.
Okay, step number
Otherwise,
one.
Otherwise, it will not be possible.
Okay.
Once you have that card from someone who has already the access rights, then you're able to enter the building. If not, you're not able.
Mm-hmm.
But it depends exactly at the time of the day. So not everyone is allowed to go there, typically, not within business hours. So you have to be there, for example, on business hours.
At the right time.
At the right time.
Okay, it's not just the key that grants me the access. It's also the right time
frame.
For
example.
Uh-huh.
Mm?
What else do I need?
Mm-hmm. Once you have access, well, then you're in for sure. But within that building, there are different areas. you may have want to have access to this as well. So you're only allowed to, for example, entering the building, but not allowed to enter several rooms within the building. So it depends. It depends exactly on the area you're allowed to access to.
So specific time frames, specific areas. What if I, let's say, I test a door and it does not open? Is there a notification sent to central computer or something so someone is notified?
Exactly, there's alerting. So there's logging and alerting. So both can be configured. So both is possible.
So you could basically trace my way through the building, how many doors I tested.
Exactly. Whenever the systems are alerting. And that alert has been followed, for sure, then you will be caught.
So we talked about catch me if you can, and now let's be a bit more recent or modern times and more technical. I'm thinking of a movie like Mission Impossible, where they have all these high-tech and where someone tries to grant themselves access through these fingerprint scanners. Is that a realistic scenario? And what does Dormakaba do in order to be ahead of people like these?
Well, it is a realistic scenario for sure. But what we are doing, we do have a security baseline. That security baseline is built on our frameworks, internal frameworks, as well as common frameworks, so public frameworks. And what is most important, it is exactly that we are engaging security researchers and have our own internal security researchers to test our products. And this exactly is why we have a maturity with regard to security, which is quite high.
And how do these researchers work? Like, are they trying to get through the security gates themselves, like the digital ones?
Exactly. So it is different cases. On our internal security researchers, where they're testing our products. We are also doing pen testing, and there are security researchers from the public area which are working on the so-called responsible disclosure policy. So they are contacting the vendors before they are disclosing exactly what they found. Meaning that once we are working with those security researchers, that we are for sure, extending and improving our products with the help exactly of those security researchers as well.
If you think of a critical infrastructure entity that you find fascinating because it's the state of the art when it comes to access control or cybersecurity, what entity are you thinking of?
Nuclear power plants.
Could you share a bit about that?
Nuclear power plants is always the case, and that it's products on premise. We have highly sophisticated products for securing exactly those areas. We are delivering through those areas as well, for sure.
In what way, for example?
It is access control solutions, mostly, designed with multi-factor authentication, designed in a way that they are very secure, designed in a way that they are following exactly other frameworks, not only that NIST2 framework, but nuclear power plants, so they do have other frameworks which they have to follow.
The threat and opportunity of artificial intelligence in the future.
We've talked about movies, we've talked about the state of the art. I'd like to have a look with you or your perspective on what will be probably going on in the future.
The frequency of attacks will be higher. With the help of artificial intelligence, it is easier to carry out those attacks. The damage will be much higher, as this is a business, it's nothing more than making money. The damage to companies will be more than 5.4 million in average. Apart from the frequency, the attacks by itself will be more sophisticated. So it is not only that you are receiving phishing emails, which are, although they are targeted phishing emails, it is more than, for example, that you are receiving calls with, well, it sounds like the real voice of someone, but it is not. It is exactly a voice which is then being simulated with the help of artificial intelligence. And this is a quite high danger and will come to everyone. So the usage of AI within both the possibilities to have have countermeasures as well as the possibility to find more measures which will then be able to attack you directly. This exactly is upcoming and already happened.
So what does that mean for you as a representative of dormakaba?
As we are running our own information security management system, we are quite well equipped for this. And now comes the point. It is also a very good internal global IT, which we can rely on. And it has been assessed for a couple of times. So even with our internal network, we are very well equipped and have a certain maturity level of security measures and security controls already in place. Mm-hmm. The management system is guaranteeing this, but it has to be operated and carried out by other entities, for example, the global IT, as well as, now comes to the point, which is interesting for the customers, as well as the developing areas. Mm-hmm. So our information security management system is certified. Well, we are certified on the ISO 27001. In the current version of 2022. For more than 1 year by now on 2022, and for more than 4 years on the older version. And this exactly is then guaranteeing that we are obeying to the NIST 2 law by itself in a very easy way. We do have our risk management processes, we do have assessments, we do have pen testing internally, we have pen testing of products, for example, we have assessments, lots of assessments from the customer side. Meaning that we are well equipped as a company.
We are now very close to the wrap-up. Let's project ourselves forward 1 year into the future. And let's say the NIST 2 and all the upsides and positive intentions that it has have been successfully implemented. What are the outcomes that you see of that implementation?
Help society, for sure. As well, we cannot guarantee security, but at least the possibility that we are more safe in 1 year than we were before, it is very, very high. And this can be done by following the law. This can be done by buying the right products, for example, the access control products from dormakaba, as well as the awareness of every individual. Meaning that by these simple measures, and it is only a couple of measures within inside this too, we can not guarantee but avoid the high amount of security incidents in the future.
And now as a final question, and I like asking hypothetical questions as a wrap-up, if there was one entity, could be important infrastructure, could be critical infrastructure, somewhere around the world, you choose, what entity would you like to equip with access control? Could be physical, could be digital, could be combination. Which one would you like to equip?
Favorite is water.
So you said water. What is it that intrigues you about the water industry?
Yeah. It is so many stations which have to be equipped with access control solutions. This might be a local pump station. It might be buildings. It might be everything which is outside the area of that company. And it's lots of stations.
So a lot of potential for you to cover. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you're watching the podcast video right now, you can see that Andreas is smiling with the imagination of equipping all the stations with access control. Mm-hmm. I hope that your wish will be granted maybe someday. And I say thank you, Andreas Robert, for being my guest today on this episode of Because It Matters, the dormakaba podcast. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Have a fantastic day.
That was Because It Matters, a dormakaba podcast. New episodes every month wherever you can listen to a podcast and on dormakaba.com.